Blender Woman Productions is proud to bring you Dodging and Burning by John Copenhaver, performed by Kyle Loss, Janet Metzger, and Elizabeth Wiley. Part 1. February 6, 2000, Washington, D.C. Dear Ciola, I thought I might begin this letter by reminding you who I was, but that would be pure pretense, and I know you wouldn't stand for it. I would like to say I'm writing to reminisce, to recall those halcyon days of our childhood in Royal Oak. But knowing you as I once did, I suspect you would prefer I just get to the point. It's been 55 years, but I still recall your last words to me. And the terrible look on your face. Your eyes were bright and wet, and you had blood on your lips. No longer the face of a girl, but something fiercer and finer. And you said to me, "Bunny, you're a murderer." To this day, I believe it. I really do. Someone, it seems, wants me to remember that time in our lives. 2 days ago, I received one of Jay Greenwood's photos of Lily. It arrived in the mail with no return address, no clue to its origin. I need to know, did you send it to me? If you didn't, do you know who did? I must admit, as horrible as it is to say, I still see beauty in the photo, or perhaps allure. That's really the word for it. I'm looking through his eyes when I'm looking at her. It's what he saw in her poor, broken body that makes it extraordinary. If you are willing, please write to me, or phone me as soon as you can. I've enclosed my home address and number. I would be so grateful to you. With sincerest regards, Bunny Prescott.
1. Ciola. There we are, Robbie, at the train station seeing you off. It's July 1943, and you're headed to Bainbridge, Maryland, for basic training. Mama, in that dim way of hers, suggested Papa shoot it. She's clutching you tight to her, her arm around you, her fingers squeezing you through your striped shirt, digging into the cotton and pulling the fabric tight across your body. You're staring at the camera with a blank, hot look on your face. Your anger boring back through the lens and piercing the surface of the photo. And I'm standing away from you a little, my small hand around two of your lanky fingers, like I'm trying not to let go. I'm sure I was sad at the time, but all I remember is your anger at Papa, at Mama, and, although I hope it wasn't true, at me. 2 days before, you came to me with that same look, eyes bright, cheeks flushed, turbulence roiling underneath. You asked me if I wanted to go to Hirsch's because the new dime detective might be in. I said yes, punching as much good cheer into my reply as I could muster. We made our way to town, mostly in silence. You were withdrawn, your hands buried deep in your pockets and your shoulders high and tight. Like a barometer before a storm, I could feel the pressure of your emotion. I wanted to touch you, but I didn't dare. Even at that age, barely 10, I could tell how distraught you were. Our narrow wooded road gave way to open stretches of rolling farmland, and then the paved streets of Royal Oak. The town, just a cluster of well-appointed brick buildings, fanned out from the county courthouse with its impressive columns and wide steps. The First Presbyterian Church, the tallest building in town, sat across from it, both its counterpart and its challenger, God's Law versus Man's. As we passed by, the American flag over the courthouse lawn swished against its pole and fluttered a weak salute. We went to Hirsch's pharmacy and found only old issues in the magazine stand. You cursed at it several times. The buxom models, grim politicians, and handsome soldiers on the covers of Life
Sample complete. Ready to continue?